not impress Republican senators today with her answers about the consulate attack in Libya.
Accompanied by the deputy director of the CIA, UN Ambassador Susan Rice acknowledged to Republican senators that her explanation of what led to the deadly attack was wrong. In a statement, she said there was no protest or demonstration in Benghazi. And she added, as is often the case, the intelligence assessment has evolved. Senator Kelly Ayotte came away unconvinced.
I'm more troubled today.
Ayotte says days after the attack, it was clear it was the work of terrorists. Jerry Bodlander, Capitol Hill.
Home prices continue making gains. The Standard & Poor's Case-Shiller Index shows increases in most major U.S. cities in September. Housing analyst Patrick Newport says this is good for the economy.
It's very good news in a lot of ways. It helps consumer spending. It brings builders back into the market. And it just generally brings optimism about the housing market.
An increase in hiring is helping to boost consumer confidence. The Conference Board says their reading is up to its highest level in almost 5 years. Your first stop for breaking news. This is America's Radio News.
Are you ready? Let's face it, today the new normal is uncertainty. Fears of job loss, injury or illness, natural or man-made disasters, interruption of our food supply, if not the rising cost of preparing future meals, are front and center in all of our thoughts. Thankfully, peace of mind begins with a plan, and the good people at Wise Food Storage want to be a part of your plan. The Wise Company takes a unique and innovative approach to food production for your long-term emergency preparedness. From breakfast through dinner, their ready-made entrees, meats, vegetables, and fruits may be freeze-dried or dehydrated, and thanks to their unique smart packaging process, along with a shelf life of up to 25 years, they'll be there when you need them. Why face your next emergency on an empty stomach? Visit wisefoodstorage.com and put the fear of hunger behind you. That's wisefoodstorage.com.
Tens of thousands of people are protesting against Egypt's president today. AP Middle East correspondent Mark Levy in Cairo reports they're upset the president gave himself sweeping new powers.
It's a large demonstration in downtown Cairo, one of the biggest since last year's popular uprising overthrew President Hosni Mubarak. This one's against the new president, the Islamist Mohamed Morsi. They're protesting what they call Morsi's power grab.
Lawmakers in Ohio put aside a bill that would have given the state the toughest restrictions on abortion in the country. The proposal would have banned abortions after the first fetal heartbeat, which is as early as 6 weeks into a pregnancy. Abortion opponents worried it would have been found unconstitutional, which could have jeopardized other abortion limits in Ohio. Leslie Lotto reports a lot of Americans are now having trouble keeping up with their car payments.
New info shows many Americans have fallen behind on their auto loan payments in the third quarter. The credit reporting company TransUnion says it occurred at the same time as back-to-school shopping and other needs that traditionally put a strain on consumers' wallets. TransUnion says the rate of U.S. auto loan payments at least 60 days overdue, rising to 0.38% from 0.33% in the second quarter. The July to September delinquency rate was down 19% from 0.47% a year earlier. Since the housing collapse in 2007 and recession that followed, many borrowers have made keeping up with their car payments a priority above paying their mortgage or other financial obligations. From America's Radio News, I'm Leslie Lotto.
A man who helped bring multi-million dollar contracts to professional sports has died. Marvin Miller was the leader of the Baseball Players Union who created free agency. He died at the age of 95. The holiday shopping season is off to a strong start, and it got a big boost from Cyber Monday. Online sales jumped over 28% from a year ago. Journalism without agenda, this is America's Radio News.
The following program is brought to you by Tim Elins and Paul Edwards.
Welcome to Left, Right, and You with Tim Elins and Paul Edwards on WRMN 1410. They're talking current events, politics, local, state, and federal. Your phone calls are welcome at 847-931-1410, 847-931-1410. Now here's Tim Elins and Paul Edwards and Left, Right, and You.
Wow, that's the last time I get to hear that intro in a long
time.
Is that
right?
Yeah.
You changed it?
Well, they are going to change it to, I think we're going to have an official switch over starting next week to the Jeff and Mutt show or something like that. Or Jeff and Alan.
Alan and Mutt.
I thought you didn't call me ignorant, Paul. I must be improving in your estimation.
Well, you already know you are. And so. Folks, listen, ignorant means lacking due knowledge. And Jeff is extremely opinionated about a lot of things that he knows nothing about. And that's okay. That's okay. But and once again, and I've come to grips with that. Anyway,
hi, Paul. Hi, Tim.
How are you?
Good.
Yeah, thank you.
Glad you're back. I'm glad you're feeling well. I saw you were a little.
I see. We got a memo there that to wear the same color shirts today. I see.
Oh, I didn't get the memo.
You didn't get. Oh, no.
I've been shopping at the mall.
Oh, so yeah. Because you look nice.
Shirt, actually,
color makes your eyes pop, Tim.
Yeah, that's good.
That's why I'm sitting so
close.
That
and 50 cents. Any special announcements today?
Let's see. Other than this is my last show. Your last show. We're going to be turning the reins over to. A couple of very strongly opinionated and well informed individual.
Who might that be?
That'd be Alan.
Jeff.
Alan. Jeff's.
So are we changing the name to Commie, American, and You?
Socialist.
Hey, I do want to, you know, Jeff and I were having this very healthy debate that ended with me threatening him at lunch today.
And, you went over the table.
And I meant every word of it, by the way, just in case you were wondering.
I'm still waiting for my dream date with you.
I'll pitch, you catch. You'll see how much of a dream it is. But anyway, moving right along.
I get this picture in my head now.
Moving right along, we were having this debate, and it was about that Mitt Romney was this terrible candidate and that he could have won the election had he done things differently. And on my way over here in my car, I thought about how I run my business. And, you know, one of the things that we say in my business is that, you know, everything we do is with integrity. We follow the rules. We do things the right way. And I don't care if our competitors are doing things that are illegal, against the law, violating people's rights. We don't care what our competitors do. We would rather go broke and go out of business than we would ever want to lose our integrity. So, Jeff, I thought about it, and you were absolutely correct. Mitt Romney ran a terrible campaign. He stuck to his integrity. He stuck to his principles. And at no point did he promise gay people marriage. He didn't enact the Dream Act without any other things. He, you know, every special interest group out there, the president catered to, and that's fine that the president chose to do it. And I will commend Mitt Romney for sticking to what he believed in, and I've come to grips with this, that the rest of the country doesn't share his values and doesn't share what he believes, and I'm okay with that. This is the new reality. The new reality is that every special interest group out there has a voice, and if you don't cater to them, they will destroy you. And they will make you into mincemeat, and they will make you out to be evil. And that's the new reality. And you know what? I will sit here, as I always do, and tell you that I have my core beliefs. I follow those core beliefs. And the fact that I'm in the minority, that doesn't make me wrong. And I'm quite okay with it.
The only thing, I do hope you recover soon, Paul. But
recover from what, Jeff?
Your interesting take on things. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
But Paul, the Salt Lake Tribune did not endorse Mitt Romney because they claimed we don't know who he is. He changed his position so frequently.
Who's the Salt Lake Tribune?
Okay.
It's the heart of Mormon newspaper. So
your point?
My point is that Mitt Romney had no integrity. He shifted. He went where there's a Russian saying, where the wind blows, and that's what he did.
You are absolutely correct. Mitt Romney has no integrity, and we only wish we could have the integrity of Barack Hussein Obama.
I'm not commenting on the president right
now. I only wish that we had that type of integrity, because we all know that he has been upfront about everything, doesn't do things behind the scenes, and is a loving man who treats people well.
Hey, Alan, do you want to go get a sandwich and come back at 4 o'clock?
No, I mean, you know, I'm okay with
Paul.
With that.
Paul, I was only answering your Mitt Romney point.
Well,
go ahead, Alan. Why don't you get a word in edgewise?
Yeah, you could rant. You know, actually, hold on. It's still my show. I'm still paying for it. So sit back.
It's good
you
back,
and once again, I'm perfectly okay with the new reality. the new reality, and anyone who doesn't see the new reality doesn't want to see the new reality. Because, you know, when you talk about how Romney could have had a better campaign, let me just ask you a couple of – give me short answers,
yes,
please.
Sir.
What could Mitt Romney have said to the black community to change one of their votes?
Nothing there.
Okay. What could Mitt Romney have said to the gay community to change their votes?
He could have embraced some form of civil union, some form of maybe not up to same-sex marriage, but offered them some.
But I'm going to tell you, and let me just retort and tell you that unless he was going to, okay, same-sex marriage, the people were going to say that they were still being discriminated against and not being given the same civil rights of other people. There is no acceptable level. It's all or nothing with that special interest group, I believe.
No, I've seen a lot of gay Republicans.
There's
a lot.
True.
And I think if he had provided them, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day.
Mm-hmm.
And if he had provided them, wow, you know, there may be something.
So,
he could have got more.
So if he truly believes that marriage is between a man and a woman, he should have given up his integrity and changed his position?
Civil union.
Okay, but once again, you're asking him to give up what he believed in. I'm not saying that what he believed in was right or wrong, but he chose not to change what he believed in. I give him an A for integrity.
But a civil union isn't a marriage, Paul.
Well, and if you've ever listened to the show when you're not on it, you would know that I believe that that marriage is a sacrament bestowed by churches, by religions, whatever, and right. that the government probably shouldn't be issuing marriage licenses at all.
We agree.
And that maybe is one of those things that could have been done.
Can I say something?
I have a couple more questions for Jeff.
Okay. What? So, yes.
Okay. Jeff, our guest is our guest.
Well, I just want to be clear. Okay. So there's a whole lot of people who are in this country illegally from multitudes of different countries.
Correct.
And the president, without going through Congress, enacted the Dream Act unconstitutionally by saying don't enforce the laws. And these people are here illegally. Do we agree on that?
The parents, yes. The children, no.
Okay, so there's a lot of people here illegally.
Yes.
Okay, I'll concede that to you.
I would agree.
So what you're saying, though, is if the parents get deported, should the kids stay here? Just curious. No, I'm digressing. Mm-hmm. So Mitt Romney believes that, as many Americans do, that the people who are here illegally should not just be given an easy path and so forth and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And he stuck to his guns on that and lost because he would not change what he believed was the right thing. And he didn't say that we wouldn't work on something, but he certainly didn't go he didn't, right before the election, unilaterally enact a Dream Act that he could have enacted any in the times of the first 2 years when he had the House and the Senate. So all I'm going to say to you is, and then I'm going to leave the show to you guys, is Jeff, if you do not understand that there's a new reality there, that the tail's wagging the dog, then you don't understand. I accept that. I'm okay with it. I just don't fall into any of those special interest groups, so it bothers me because I'm not in one of those special interest groups. So I guess if I were into one of those, maybe I could understand. I'm not in there. And it's the tail wagging the dog. So with that, I'm going to leave the show to you guys. So thank you all very much.
Yeah, leave it. We go.
No, I'll sit and I'll listen. But I'm pretty much done at this point. So
can I answer you, Paul?
There wasn't a question. That would require me asking you a question. And I asked you questions. You answered them. And you can take the show wherever you want at this point. So to all the left, right, and you listeners, thank you so much.
You know, for the first 14 minutes, Tim and I were just sitting here eating a hamburger and drinking some coffee.
I saw one of your hands under the table, though.
You need to learn how to do math, Alan, because the show doesn't start till 3:04 and it's 3:14. That's 10 minutes. So if you can learn to do math, then you can talk. In the meantime, you can shut up, too.
Paul didn't take his Ritalin today.
You know, station breaker? Is it Jeff and Paul show here?
You know, since it's Pyle, this is Alan, and since it's Pyle and Jeff Day.
I'm curious, man.
How sometimes you make a lot of sense, and I read your blog and I read your columns,
mm-hmm.
and you say you're a raging fiscal conservative.
Yes, sir.
You know, moderate, or you say you're moderate on the social issues, and we haven't quite dived
moderate
into that.
To liberal.
Okay, and you still voted for Barack Obama.
Correct.
I see a disconnect there.
Can you be more specific?
I see a disconnect because it's tough to go where you go in your column and talk about integrity in government and mm-hmm. also, you know, a little bit in transparency, but what about wise spending and then see the support. I mean, I could say hey, I don't like either guy. and maybe protest vote against one or the other. But you know, you're kind of outspoken in your support of Barack Obama
at times,
and that surprises me.
And yeah, and I can understand that. I think for me, you know, Andrew Sullivan, who writes for the Daily Beast, put it pretty well that obstructionism shouldn't be rewarded. And I know
so,
too.
So, but you're punishing people. That's ridiculous.
And
you know, you said this before, and I disagree with you.
But I know you do, Tim. And I agree with you to a large degree that, you know, when the president said fatherhood is more important than schmoozing, my response to you was, well, then he shouldn't run. But in fact, one of my topics that we have slated for today, and I wanted to ask you, Alan or Paul, is, you know, are Republicans really, you know, one of my favorite Paul Edwards sentiments, my favorite of all time that I will never forget. Paul Edwards, my hero, sat here and said, Jeff, I do not want an all-Republican government. I do not want an all-Democratic government, because whenever either side gets a monopoly, we go crazy. And you know what? I was like, my God, for a guy that doesn't make a lot of sense, he makes a lot of sense. So, you know, what I'm hoping to see is...
Stupid is as stupid does. So what, enjoy this. Enjoy, listeners, enjoy this nonsense that comes out of Jeff's mouth, because it's like a comedy hour, because he's just an idiot.
So, thank you so much, Paul. I love you, too.
Jane, you ignorant slut. Yeah.
So, Alan, for me, the key was the obstructionism that I perceived.
Okay, let's dive into that.
Right.
Because I'm starting to think that it has something to do with the president's, I don't want to say landslide, but, you know, it looked like, you know, the economy is not doing so well. We
right.
have, you know, 30 million people that are unemployed right now.
Correct.
We have more people signing up for disability than getting jobs. You know, the stock market is still in the doldrums.
Whoa. No, you're wrong about that. The stock market's been doing phenomenal since.
The stock market's lower today than it was 5 years ago today.
Not much.
Not much, but it's
but
still
phenomenal.
Not much lower is phenomenal.
Paul,
you heard
we were down at 6,900, guys.
That's
so
correct.
We're knocking on the door at 13,000. That's phenomenal.
That's
considering
correct.
The economy.
But if you look at the backtrack, things aren't going very well. You know, we've got, you know, here in Illinois, you know, last week we had a state rep saying, hey, let businesses leave because we're going to pass the, the income tax. You know, I actually wanted to tell her that we shouldn't prop the door open for them. Mm-hmm. You know, we should actually have policies that work and want to encourage them to stay and come here. But I actually, you talked about obstruction.
Yeah, obstructionism.
I wonder if the people all around this country, we have a Republican Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a Democrat in president. I wonder if people voted for their congressman, and most of them are Republican,
mm-hmm.
but then they've also voted for Barack Obama because they're frustrated with obstruction. And, you know, I don't necessarily think obstruction's a bad thing. When you have bad policies, obstruction's a good thing. And for the past 10 years, not just Barack Obama, we've had bad policies coming from Washington, D.C. So a little obstruction
I would agree
can
with
be
that.
A good thing. But I wonder if people actually protested what they perceived as obstruction, which I think might be more manufactured, you know, mm-hmm. kind of a talking point thing. And that's how he did so well. You know,
I think that's a large part of it. I think they got I think they're saying we sent you for better or worse. We sent you to Washington to do a job. And basically they said, we're going to give you another shot.
But, you know, the ironic thing is that in 2010, the Republicans did that. They did their job. They stopped,
but they went too far. They stopped appointments of people. You know, who's the senator for the
well, I think you're going to be confusing the Senate with the House because the
right.
Senate didn't change.
But
and for the most part,
but
Harry Reid has been filibustering. I mean, look, they won't even discuss a budget.
Right.
And that is not Mitch McConnell.
And where I fault the president, Alan, is failing to understand Republican resolve or obstructionism resolve, whatever you want to call it. His failure, you know, I agree with Tim's notion that we provided Barack Obama with on-the-job training, and it frustrates me. But I think he was a far better choice than Mitt Romney, who I couldn't figure out who the heck he was. So, Tim said, you know, hey, he hasn't got the job done. No, he hasn't. And I got to tell you, I'm going to be real disappointed if he can't pull something together these next 4 years.
But it's too late if he can't. This is it.
Right. It is too late.
I
couldn't vote for Paul for president. You know? I suppose I could have written him in. That would have been my choice. But we had two guys. And so I had to make...
First of all, I want to back up a little bit. You know, as far as this gay marriage thing, listen, if somebody chooses that this is their life partner, and our Constitution says freedom of religion and freedom of choice, if two people are in love, whatever their sex might be, if they want to live together and this is what they want to do, I agree with what Paul said, I agree with what Ellen said. It's not a government thing.
Right.
If the churches don't want to marry them, it's up to the churches. It's freedom of religion. But, you know, I think what people do is they get... The sexual act involved when you hear gay, it automatically goes up. It's not. It's about two people that love each other and they're committed to each other. And marriage is a contract. I mean, that's what it is. It's a contract. So I just wanted to go on that one. And I think we spent way too much time on this election about social issues. And I think that's where Mitt Romney got a lot of trouble, getting into these social issues. It's not a social issue. We're hurting. We don't have jobs. You know,
right.
There's 47 million people on food stamps.
But if
unemployment is at 96 weeks for unemployment. I remember when I was unemployed back in 82, it was a 46 week, and now I could only get 26 weeks. And the woman's going, "Gosh, you could get 40 weeks if you had been here 2 weeks before." And I'm like, "I can't sit home for 26 weeks. Are you out of your mind?"
You know,
and it's, I don't hear anybody talking about solutions. I hear everybody talking about problems.
But you are absolutely right. This election was about social issues.
But it shouldn't have been.
But it was the president who made it about social issues, and he won the election based upon that. He pandered to special interest groups, and he made every one of their social issues the most important thing to them, and he trumped it up. You know, I don't recall, and correct me if I'm wrong here, I don't recall Mitt Romney starting out anything with social issues. He was
Can I correct you, Paul?
He was primarily about the economy.
I think Candy wants to say something here.
In the primaries... And I wrote a column about this at the time, and you agreed with it, Paul. It was a race to the least common denominator between the Republican candidates. And Mitt Romney took positions. I think that's where Mitt, if I could have answered your question before, that's where Mitt Romney lost his integrity. He took positions that he clearly did not believe in to try to win with the Tea Party and the Republican base. Yes, the Republican, there was no Democratic opponent to Barack Obama. So Republicans set the tone when Mr. Gingrich, Rick Perry, they went at each other tooth and nail, Paul.
Yeah, you know, I watched a lot of those debates, and I saw a different debate than you saw. I saw Mitt Romney sitting in the lead the entire time, and the flavor of the week stepping up and attacking him, and he sort of just, as he did in the general election, he just sort of stayed there. I didn't see him getting down the dirty light like you think. But you view things from a different prism than I do. I view things from a conservative's position, a fiscal conservative, and you view yours from a socially liberal perspective. So whatever we both describe, we can see the same thing, and we'll describe two different things. And once again, I've come to grips that more people see things like you than like me.
This time.
Always. This is the way it's become. And once again, I'm okay with that. If people are more concerned about whether or not we deport people who don't belong here, whether or not there can be gay marriage, whether or not their uterus is protected, then whether or not they have jobs and a livelihood, then that's their prerogative. I just view it very differently. But obviously, I'm in the minority, and I'm okay with it.
But Alan made a really good point, or was it you, Tim, the last couple of weeks, that, you know, in 2010, we swung right. 2012, we swung left. Who's to say what's going to happen with the midterm elections next round? And you know, if the Republicans can put forth a good candidate, who knows? The only thing you can count on is things changing. But anyway.
Well, wait a minute. Are you saying the Republicans will never be back in control of the government?
I'm saying that there's not such a thing. There's no such thing as a good Republican candidate on the national level.
Let me throw a few names at you. Chris Christie.
Lose. Would have lost.
Marco Rubio. Why?
They would have lost because this election was not about the economy and fiscal issues. This election was about all the social issues, and as long as we continue to focus in on those social issues, this is the new reality. Folks, people do not obviously, people, you always say people vote their pocketbook. People don't vote.
I always say that, yeah.
People
yeah,
don't
I
vote that. Their pocketbook anymore, because if people would have voted their pocketbook, there's no way that Barack Obama would have been reelected.
I just need to tell Alan to shut up. He's just
there is no Republican who could have won, because no Republican was going to go ahead and start caving to those special social issues because they don't believe in them. And you know what? Kudos to them. I got no problem with a man standing up with his integrity and losing. And I know you don't think he stood up with his integrity, and I'm not going to get into the you don't know who he is, because the people – you know what? There's so much about our president that people don't know, and people do know, and they just don't care as long as he gives them the stuff that they want. They don't care about it, and that's – fine. You know what? I don't need anybody to give me anything. I'll go get my own like I always have. And that's why I can't identify with Barack Hussein Obama, who wants to give everybody everything that they want. I would much rather just say, hey, everybody, go get your own. And you know what? The thing about it is that I run my business in such a way that I take care of my people very well. So the fact that I'm going to go get my own and bust my rear end doesn't mean that I oppress people or use them or abuse them or anything along the way. And to be vilified and made to have people think that's what we do, it's ridiculous.
You know, I hear a lot of small business owners saying basically the same thing, though. That the idea of the being villainized, but high-income owners or earners are so bad, and I do find it kind of shocking.
No, I don't, and I was. I have a question for you, Alan. I don't see it. I don't see small business owners being vilified by anyone. I see the exceptionally wealthy being Paul's about
now. Paul's now, yeah, now I'm going to jump in.
Yep. I mean, but Tim. Small business owners.
Hello, you done?
I just don't see them being vilified.
They are being a small business owner, being self-employed for over 20 years. And I know Paul's story because I grew up with Paul. Paul worked for a corporation, went off and started his own business. Mm-hmm. I started my own business. Every single thing is against you when you start a business. The state, the county, the cities, the government, everything is against you. That's why 80% of small businesses fail within the first 18 months. Everything is against you. You're a bad guy. And I think what I heard Paul say is it's just been amplified now. And you're saying no. You're sitting here, the tornado has just wiped out the house, and you're going, doesn't seem to be any damage here.
I will agree with you, Tim, about
it's unbelievably hard.
But I don't think under this administration small business owners are vilified anymore.
When you say that, Jeff, mm-hmm. Once again, I don't think you really understand from a business owner who has...
Paul, I own a business.
Can I finish my sentence?
Yes,
or,
sir.
Or would you like to cut me off?
No, I just wanted to let you know that.
All right. I know you own a business.
Okay.
From a small business owner in a highly regulated industry that has 70 different families working for him, and I'm responsible for those people. And when I see that the regulation that's coming down the pipe is going to negatively impact not just me, but every single one of them, that's hard to deal with. And I get that not everyone out there understands it, but when you haven't walked in the shoes of someone who's responsible for all of those people, you don't know that burden. And for people to think that every business owner out there is this evil tycoon that is trying to just get theirs, you don't realize what we do and the responsibilities we have for these people and how much we feel those. And yeah, you know what? I shared with you that there's some pending rulemaking possibly coming out of the CFPB that definitely has made me shelf expansion plans, which would have created at least 40 more jobs for people over the course of the next year. Had to scuttle it. Lost a ton of income over something that some potential rulemaking might frown upon. That was a huge hit. You just don't get it. When the cost of health care goes up and My rates have gone up, 65% the last 2 years? And it is reaction by the insurance companies to what's going on in Obamacare and where it's going to go. If you think that, it isn't related to that, you're just misinformed and sadly mistaken. That's another tax on me, and it's another tax on every one of my employees that takes the health care from us. So, you know, I get that you have a business, and I understand that. And I don't know how heavily regulated yours is, but I'm in a very competitive, heavily regulated environment where there are some bad players, some people do things wrong. But instead of just enforcing the laws and getting rid of the bad players, or realizing that so many people that hire a company like mine are really brand protective, and they will eventually get rid of those bad companies and those companies will go away. Instead, what they do is they add strangling regulation and rules onto the existing good players. You know, I've told this story on a bunch of different times on this airways. In 2008, my company lost $177,000. In 2009, we rebounded. I made myself $250,000. After I paid my state and federal taxes, you know what my actual in-pocket income was for those 2 years combined? $0 went in my pocket. But the federal government got over $87,000 in personal income tax from me from when I lost money. Take that a step further. The year that we lost money, the government got $394,000 in revenue, tax revenue, based upon that. And you know what? For people to not understand that, or to be so ignorant is to not listen to someone who's walking in their shoes and dismiss them like we're idiots, you just show your ignorance. And to be quite honest, I've accepted that's the reality, that not everyone is going to understand, and this election was a perfect example of people not understanding what the real issues were. And that's why, to be very honest, that's why I'm leaving this show, because I've done my best to get people to understand what I believe is most important. And quite frankly, it's become evident that what I think is important isn't. It's much more important that we protect uteruses and gay rights and special interests.
You want to go to break?
No, I just want to babble for another hour. No, yeah, you've been listening to Left, Right, and You. Thank you.
As a small business owner, I've learned to rely on my vendors, not just for their supplies, but rather for their expertise they have in their field. When it came to providing healthcare solutions for my family and my staff, I needed a company I could trust. That's why I turned to Benefits Age, the employee benefits specialists. Benefits Age is an independent insurance brokerage that finds coverage for their clients' needs. They took the time to learn what was important to me and my staff, and then put together a comprehensive wellness plan, including medical, dental, life, and disability coverage that met our needs. So if you're looking for someone you can trust with the well-being of your family and your staff, call Benefits Age at 800-317-0181. Once again, you can reach Benefits Age at 1-800-317-0181 or online at www.benefitsage.com. If you're anything like me, you get confused by Blu-ray, HD, CD, HD, DVD, USB, MP3. I mean, really, who knows what all these mean? Well, I'll tell you who. Failsafe Media Company does. These guys started out duplicating floppy disks back in 1983, and now are the leaders in electronic media duplication, replication, packaging, and distribution. So if you're looking for an expert who's been there every step of the way, contact Rollo of Failsafe Media at 800-537-1919 or visit him at www.failsafeinc.com. Remember, if you want your electronic media duplication, replication, packaging, and distribution done right, go to Failsafe. In today's challenging business climate, payroll, benefits, and loss production are some of the largest expenses facing companies today. Fortunately, Interactive Health Solutions, with their preventive care programs, have a proven track record of reducing health care premiums while improving the overall health of your workforce, resulting in cost savings, increased productivity, and a healthier, happier employee. For more information, visit us at www.interactivehealthsolutions.com or by phone at 847-754-2698. Remember, Interactive Health Solutions is your path to a happier, healthier, and more productive employee.
Welcome to Left, Right, and You with Tim Elins and Paul Edwards on WRMN 1410, They're talking current events, politics, local, state, and federal. Your phone calls are welcome at 847-931-1410, 847-931-1410. Now here's Timmy Lins and Paul Edwards and Left, Right, and You.
We're back. This is Alan and with Jeff and Tim, Paul in the room here. And Jeff, where can we find the podcast for today's show?
You can find the podcast on www.thefirstward.net, spelled out. And Alan, I'm pleased and proud to say that we're getting about 500 hits on show days. So that's a good sign that people are actually
listening. And how many on non-show days? 600?
On non-show days, 3 to 4.
Okay, so we're getting a little bit more
on your website. Yeah. Is that your
blog? Thefirstword.net.
Well, you know, the only thing, if I may say something, commenting on your and Paul's conversation, you know, when and Paul missed it because Paul was out of the room, but you basically, when you start a business and you're an entrepreneur and you're giving it your all, and then all of a sudden they change the rules on you in the middle of the game to ingratiate a group of people or to use your tax dollars or to change the rules in the middle of the game, it's very difficult.
I understand Paul's frustration. Yeah. I do.
Well, I'm frustrated too. I'm an insurance broker, and I, most of my business is medical. I'm going with the flow with the ACA. I don't call it Obamacare, even though he considers it a compliment. But I'm going with it too. But it's very disheartening when you're in a business and you understand how the business works, and you get some bureaucrats that are patronizing to a group of voters to get their votes is what they're doing. They're keeping them in that block, and it's costing you your livelihood. You know, it's costing you. So I understand that point of it all.
And I think Tim really hits the nail on the head. Is a lot of these regulations aren't coming from the fact that there's committees that are thinking of good ideas. Like, you know, things would be more efficient if we did. Usually, what it is a lobby group, a special interest that goes, well, we want to protect our piece of the pie, so we're going to restrict other people. You know, as someone that, you know, I don't think I'm as much entrepreneur as you guys, but you know, I've dabbled, and I also have a something that I started and I didn't really complete because actually it was the Frank Dodd Act changed some of the finance rules, and this was going to be where my specific amount of profit was going to come from, where now that this has changed, and it was just a, you know, an internal way I was going to finance stuff and take the risk on myself. It has actually changed my business model where I don't think it's going to work. And here's a situation where there was a special interest that said, and it was the big banks, to be honest, that we want all this business. And they you know, in the name of reform, what they did is they actually did the opposite of reform. And it, you know, stops people from me going in this business. And I see that over and over again. That same business has a very powerful trade union. Mm-hmm. Well, they want to protect the big guys in that particular business and restrict the little guys, so it's highly regulated.
And Alan, I agree, but my argument with Paul has always been it's a bipartisan thing in general, and the pendulum swings.
Well, both sides are equally corrupted. Most
exactly.
Times.
Yes. And Paul, you know, I'm trying to, you know, right now, and I don't know if Paul wants me to mention the industry he's in, but the pendulum is swinging again. Yes, it is most definitely swinging against him. We don't know how far, but just like we talked about the elections, it'll swing back, and it's difficult. Right now, if you know, there's a lot of folks saying that we should force China to let their currency float. Truly, and if that ever happens, I'm out of business. Nobody's going to buy my product for the price it would cost to make it in America. So, I mean, yes, the government can throw me out of business in 10 seconds.
But that's not right either. I mean, that isn't how that isn't what our what has made our country great. Our country's been great because we have people that can take risk. We can people that can work hard, and because of that, there's a synergy. It's much more than one person. It's much more than what the government can do because it's a synergy of everyone working together. And it isn't because things are centrally planned.
Right.
It's because people want to do what's in their best interest or their family's best interest. And when we, you know, when that happens and we work together, we create a synergy.
I would agree. But Alan, in light of some of Paul's comments, I'm curious as to your thoughts. Do you think any other candidate could have beaten President Obama?
I actually think Paul is wrong on that, but he has a legitimate point. Is the dialogue was not about jobs.
think about it. Mitt Romney went out there and was like, I want to create jobs. I'm a guy that has a business background.
I want to run this as close to a business the government will allow me to run.
To some degree. I mean, and look at his positives. You know, he had a successful run in the Olympics and things like that. It looked like he probably could have done a good job from that standpoint. It really did.
I would agree.
Okay. But people didn't want that this time. You know, and I think that there's been this eroding plan. I mean, I heard someone say that Mitt Romney was selling jobs to a nation that didn't want to work. And I don't know if I'm going to go that far.
Okay.
But we are definitely got that kind of attitude. And I think that's a very dangerous attitude to have. Now, some people could have articulated some of these policies better. And I think some of his policy choices, some of his specifics and his economic plan weren't the brightest ideas in the world. But they, again, if we're going to compare them in a, you know, every election you compare one person versus the other. You compare him versus Barack Obama, who wanted to demonize the rich, demonize the people who succeed and wanted to raise taxes. And we all know taxes aren't going to pay off the deficit. I mean, they're going to have more spending. Taxes, they don't ever increase taxes to pay down debt, or, you know, they just do it so things can cost more and they can spend more. That's really the simple truth.
That has been the historical truth. Yes.
I mean, I've never seen a tax increase go to paying down debt or, you know, pay off the pensions that are, you know, are unfunded liabilities and things like that. It's always gone through new spending, new pork, right, a new way to buy votes, basically.
It certainly hasn't helped in Illinois.
And so if we look at that kind of contrast there, I mean, Barack Obama wasn't selling anything that was really going to work. But, you know, he's cool. He, you know, sounded smooth. Where Mitt Romney, I mean, he was maybe a little awkward. I think the average person couldn't identify with him because of his, you know, because of his finances. But I mean, who was interested in really voting for? I mean, I don't think they're really voting in their best interest if they wanted to work and move on from this current, valley we're in. I mean, and we're on the door of a double dip recession too. I mean, it's a real fact. Now, I think some other candidates could have done better. And I think it's part of it is that people are looking for someone with charisma. People are looking for a leader.
Uh-huh.
And neither of these guys offer that. But Mitt Romney did seem a little vanilla. And that's probably why a lot of, Republicans in the primary voted for him. I mean, I do note that I didn't vote for him in the primary. But a lot of people voted for him because he was vanilla, because he was perceived as the more moderate.
Uh-huh.
And then I also find it interesting that, you know, you have multiple times you've commented on this. Who is Mitt Romney?
Correct.
Said that he's wishy-washy and stuff. But if you look at in the last 4, 5, maybe 6 years, I don't think his positions have changed very much. And I'm not saying they're all the right position either. But he ran for president in 2008. We pretty much knew who he was.
Right, but
and he didn't change his tune since 2008.
But do you know what the irony is, Alan? The Mitt Romney who ran Massachusetts, that guy I could vote for. He changed drastically from that guy, and that's what bothered me more than anything. But you're right. The change started when he tried to get the 2008
Do we need to cater all elections and all candidates on who Jeff would vote for?
No. I'm just saying, the original Mitt Romney, the governor of Massachusetts, I like him. I like that guy.
Well, I was just going to say, Paul, before
but, you... But Alan, if you want to win, yes, you have to cater to Jeff.
No, Do I have that much influence, Paul?
No. Jeff, and I'm using you as this global
the pejorative
constituency.
Jeff. Okay.
Yes, you have to cater to Jeff because there's more Jeffs than there are Pauls.
Can you convince my wife of this?
I will disagree to that because I think that someone who's truly charismatic and can communicate these issues can get past that.
Here comes Paul.
Charismatic communication, unless you're giving away free stuff, you weren't going to win this election.
Billy, stay there for a second. Do you think somebody can win it in 2016? This was a text from our good friend Dave. What about Christie, Ryan, or, Rubio? Can they win in 2016?
Unless,
what has to change between now and then?
We would have to go into the absolute worst. We'd have to go into a depression for people to go, ooh, that was a bad idea. If not, the Democrats will win again because they'll continue to cater. As long as he can keep us where we're at, Doesn't have to improve. As long as he keeps where we're at, the Democrats will win again and again because they'll continue to cater. Or the Republicans are going to have to start catering to these special interest groups as well.
Here's where I agree with half of that. So this is where I'm going to disagree.
Well, I got closer.
Well, it's very hard to, when you're catering to people, when you're buying stuff. You know, for a long time, politicians have been buying votes. And that is something that is very tough to get over, especially when we have become in kind of an entitlement mentality. You know, where you look at a country with, you know, close to $100 trillion in unfunded liabilities, you know, I mention to people all the time is that we've bought and paid for these votes. And mm-hmm. there's a lot of truth to that. That is tough to get over. And some of the biggest entitlement groups are very dependable voters. That's very tough. Now, if we're going to talk about the social issues and stuff, I think that someone who can address those issues can come up with common sense solutions to problems that none of us around this table are going to fix. I think that someone like that can win. So if you can address those issues and just treat them in a common sense ways and go, you know, this is how, you know, look at, you know, I don't think either Mitt Romney or Paul Ryan accomplished that from a social conservative kind of.
No, they didn't.
Very well at all. But there are definitely social conservatives out there that get the issue because the issue isn't about, regulating what women do. The issue isn't about bodies. It's about, you know, when does human life begin? And I think we can all have a serious conversation. We're adults here. Mm-hmm. And I think that most adults agree that human rights don't begin when a doctor signs the birth certificate. You know, we can argue and debate where that line is, but I think we can agree that that line isn't when the birth certificate is signed.
And I'm going to tell you that the strong feminist movement will tell you that in no way, shape, or form should this even be discussed. It's their body, period. They can do with it what they want, when they want, and how they want. So.
Well, you're never going to change their minds, but they're not 51% of the population.
But if you promise them that you'll protect that right and you coalesce it with all the other groups, you will do what you just did. You will win. And I will have to say this. I did, you know, Jeff, I did misread this election because I actually believed that people would understand the issues and the ramifications of their decision. And people just voted for that one single issue that was most important to them, and I commend the president. He catered to each one of those groups and coalesced it, and that's what he did. And you know, and God bless him, because if people out there believe that Barack Obama's policies for the economy are good policies, and that's why they voted for him.
Can I give out the phone number?
That's what I would want to. Dave, please give out the phone.
847-931-1410, 847-931-1410. If you have a question or comment for the panel for Paul, Tim, Alan, and Jeff.
You can also reach us on the Facebook. We can answer questions there.
You can answer them on the Facebook.
But, Alan, should we take a little sharp turn to local stuff? Tim brought up an interesting point.
Are we going to turn left or turn right?
We're going to do a 180. So neither. But, you know, as someone who follows the city of Elgin regularly, writing for the Courier News, you know, the Elgin City Council is fairly sedate. I mean, they're a good group. You don't get the rancor you see sometimes on Aurora and these smaller city councils. So I was shocked when Tim told me today, our fearless leader, that 23 people, including the incumbents, have signed on to run for 4 spots on Elgin City Council. What are your thoughts on that?
That's going to be a fun primary. Yeah. I'll have to look up some. I know some of the people that are running.
Yeah.
There's a couple of hopefuls that I haven't heard about, to be honest, a couple of people that ran 2 years ago. So that's something I'm very excited about. But 23, that primary will be a lot of fun, a lot of fun. And I believe we have
a call. We have a call, wants to comment regarding, I guess, the election and Mitt Romney. Bill's on the line. Hello, Bill.
Hi. How are you guys doing today?
Good. How are you, Bill?
Excellent. Okay. Hey, just a very, very fast comment here. I think we kind of shot ourselves in the foot when Mr. Romney selected a running mate who was so strongly anti-abortion, and that galvanized the large percentage of women who would just about vote for Hitler as long as he promised to protect Roe v. Wade. And then the other very large percentage of women who were kind of on the fence either way, they started getting nervous, and they voted Obama also.
And that's where we got killed.
Do you think that started with the Paul Ryan's his debate performance when he was asked about that and he seemed to kind of draw a hard line and that was it? He didn't really kind of explain his position?
Very much so, and that also probably has a lot to do with the fact that the moderator of that debate was probably not neutral and probably carried some biases into that herself. She got to select the questions that would show Paul Ryan in the worst possible light.
I kind of thought he was set up a little bit on that question because Biden was – he had the answer at second and kind of was a softer delivery, just a tone. But here's a question. Do you think that Todd Akin and Richard Murdoch and Joe Walsh set that tone for this election?
No, I don't think so. I think the Republicans had to carefully factor in all of those various constituencies, and they needed to figure out that if they didn't, if they didn't find some way of softening the rhetoric on Roe v. Wade, and I understand Roe v. Wade is a plank in the Republican platform, but the math was not there to win. You know, if you took all the people who don't work for a living or have some type of an entitlement and wanted to vote, and you take the people who voted for many other reasons, and then you add to it that block of women who don't want anything to touch Roe v. Wade, even though it might cost, even though the economy is lousy, their jobs are in the toilet, but don't mess with Roe v. Wade.
But
the
Bill,
math was looking bad.
Bill, isn't that a legitimate issue, though? Women, I'm certainly against abortion, but I have a really difficult time telling a woman what she can do with her body. Isn't that really a legitimate issue? I mean, Paul kind of frames it as a gift, but I think it's a serious divide between Republicans and Democrats.
Well, it may be a legitimate issue, and it is definitely a plank in the party, but unless they find a way to soften it when they come in order to get in, then the math is not there to get in. If you just look at now how many people are on various forms of entitlement programs, and you look at the various voting blocks that went for Obama, and if you add to that the women who were really worried about Roe versus Wade being changed, that turned the math.
Although I called into the show when Mr. Romney picked Paul Ryan, and I said just that choice alone was going to doom him. We'll never know if that was the case.
Yeah. I think he was a controversial pick. Go ahead, Bill.
I was going to say, well, thank you very much. I'll sit on the side and listen now.
Thank you for calling in, Bill. We appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Well, he was a controversial pick, and I remember telling some friends of mine that it would really put Florida into play. Mm-hmm. And to tell you why is because with the president demonizing, and not just the president, I should take that back. It wasn't just the president. It was a lot of the players in the Democratic Party demonizing the Paul Ryan budget and the idea that there has to be something done with Social Security and Medicare. And because that was put in such a negative light, that might be very hurt, might hurt the ticket in places like Florida where there's a lot of senior citizens. Now, I mean, I don't think that that's a legitimate argument because I think the people that bury their head in the sand on the whole Medicare issue are the people who are really dooming Medicare and Social Security.
I would agree.
But because this was painted in such a negative way that it was kind of hard for them to overcome unless they were just really charismatic and they could really explain it. And people aren't going to look at a flow chart and understand and do the math. I mean, it's not going to work. But there's got to be a way to explain it. And, Bill was painting a picture that you need to soften it. I wonder if he was also thinking that they need to soften the issues on entitlements also, which I don't think Republicans have the courage to really have a hard line on entitlements.
But Rome, and you may be right, and part of it is Rome wasn't built in a day. I mean, you come in with like the Tea Party occasionally and you want to get rid of everything in one fell swoop. It's typically not the way it happens.
I agree. I mean, you've got to look at what was the model that the progressive wing of the Democratic Party used. I mean, they did small things here and there. And look, in the past 40 years, I mean, I think, people talk about the Republican Party moving right. I think the Democratic Party has moved really left. And I think that's because there's the progressive base has taken over the party. And they didn't do it in one election cycle. They did it over 20 election cycles. It's been a long time coming.
Although I still think it's not – I still say Barack Obama is a fairly conservative president. I know I'm going to be the last one on the panel here to agree with that. And by the way, your point when Bill called in, Alan, and you brought up the Murdochs, the Walshes, the Aikens. I mean, I think that killed, you know, just killed Republicans. It made everything else seem worse, even by comparison. When you know, Mitt Romney didn't and Paul Ryan didn't say anything that terrible, but they, you know, the poor timing of Mitt Romney endorsing Murdoch and then him making that statement 2 days later. So, I do think that really hurt him.
Well, he did. Romney did say to Todd Aiken, he did recommend him get out.
Yeah, he did. And I think and that worked. It was Murdoch. But I know Paul's put his headphones on, but I want to be sure there's enough time for Alan and I to thank Tim and Paul for their massive confidence in us, their willingness to hand over the reins. And Paul and I may go at each other on the radio, but we really do like each other. And I want to seriously thank Tim and Paul for their willingness, for their faith in us, their willingness to have us continue the
Paul's
tradition.
Paul's nodding. I don't know what this is
and, all about. and I want to, and I am extremely grateful for the fact that they got me started in this gig. Paul may regret it. And I'm eternally grateful for the opportunity they're providing us.
I know you're tearing up a little bit.
Man, my sphincter squeezed and shut.
We have 4 minutes left.
Yeah.
Do you want to say something?
That almost sounded like a eulogy.
You are both wearing blue.
I just realized.
Then you weren't paying attention to the show earlier when I said we got a memo about that.
Paul, you are welcome to call in anytime, and I will have Dave hang up on you.
Not a problem. Not a problem.
No, I think we've been 3 years together. You and I have been together 3 years on the show pretty regularly every week, and maybe it's just time for more creativity to come in and see what's going to go. You know, and that's.
But you guys are always welcome.
Well, I think we could just stop in, can't we? Could we just come in?
Anytime.
They locked the door on us.
There's no lock.
No, I mean, there's some interest. There's some really hard things that are coming up. There's state elections next year that are going to be starting. March is going to start. The governor's, right after New Year's Eve, I would say that the governor announcements are going to come up. See if there's a Democratic challenge. There's a lot of local races. Elgin's a hotbed right now. I mean, 23 candidates filed.
You know. That is unbelievable.
We might have to put a list of who didn't file.
That's more.
No, you guys know.
Can we still file here? I'm going to try.
You're going to get crazy people calling you. They're going to want to come on the show. Yeah. They're going to ask for equal time.
They're already out in the hall.
Yeah. I mean, 23 people. That's more than voted in the last Elgin consolidated
election. Do you remember we had the shrimp guy? The guy brought the shrimp, and he came in with the young girl. With the shirts on.
I think I missed that. He took our shrimp. Week.
Weren't you there? Here?
No, I think I missed
that. He took
that
the shrimp
week.
Back?
Yeah, that was a good day.
He took our shrimp and he didn't give us our shrimp back. He's running again, by the way.
Well, who is that?
That's Driver Tom.
Oh, Driver Tom.
Yeah, Driver
okay.
Tom. So, you know, you guys are going to you're going to have a lot of people that are going to call you. They're going to come on. We had some really good guests. Maybe the Democrats will come on now. The Democrats have always been. The local Democrats can't stand Paul and I know that.
They're not.
We went against their fearless leader, the admiral. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And you know what? And I'll still stand on that. I think Senator Nolan should go back and listen to our debate that we held between him and Steve Rauschenberger. And I don't think he could have found a more impartial moderators to that debate than they had.
Well, I got to say the last 10 minutes of it, I kind of lost it.
You did a little bit.
Yeah, I did a little bit. I crossed the line a little bit. That was one of our first ones. I still hold to that he's an absolute train wreck.
Yeah.
And I can say that. He's the worst legislator. I've been in Democratic politics since I was 9 years old with my father, and he's the worst. He's the worst elected official we've ever seen, and
That's saying a lot.
I will care.
I mean, considering we have a wing in Statesville for our governors, that's saying a lot.
He's the worst, and you know he's done nothing. Our music is playing millions of dollars.
Yep.
But that's up to that's up to the voters next time to decide.
Next week it'll probably be some sort of
love you, Paul. Love you, my brother, and hopefully these guys will have us back.
Folks, you've been listening to Tim Elins and Paul Edwards, along with our new host Jeff Ward and Alan Skillcorn here on WRMN 1410 AM Left, Right, and You. Tune in next Tuesday, and hopefully we'll just have Jeff's microphone turned off, and you can hear Alan's sense. Have a great day, and take care, everybody.
Hi, this is Gary Berghoff. You may remember me as Radar O'Reilly on MASH.